I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life, I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is hard to say which of God's commandments gets broken most frequently. Is it the commandment that forbids lying or the one that outlaws idolatry? Is it God's law against lust or his law against murderous anger? Such questions are impossible to answer because people seem to break all of the commandments all of the time. What is perhaps easier to determine is which commandment is most likely to get ignored altogether. Nearly everyone knows that it is wrong to murder, to lie, to steal, or to commit adultery. But how many people know that God has given us a holy day of rest where we can cease from our regular labor and offer ourselves to God in worship? Most secular people don't know this commandment at all, which is why the old Sunday restrictions have all but disappeared in our society. Sunday, for most people, has become a day of work, of shopping, of sporting events, just like the rest of the week, only even more so. But what is sad is that this situation has become not all that different in the broader church community. Some Christians do not think they need to honor God's holy day at all. Others consider this commandment less important than the rest of God's law. They find it easy to break without many pangs of guilt. Some believe that the Sabbath has been so fulfilled in Christ that we are no longer obligated to rest one whole day in seven. Others will still go to church on Sunday mornings, but they think that they can then have the rest of the day all to themselves to do whatever they want. And so we need to ask, is this the way that God wants us to treat the Sabbath day? While the Bible makes so clear, and what God's fourth commandment makes so clear, is that us observing the Sabbath day is very important to God, as are all the other commandments. I bring you God's word to summarize for us in Lord's Day 38 with the following theme: God commands us to keep the Sabbath day holy. Beloved, time is a very precious commodity, a precious thing for all of us. Few things are more precious than time. We need time to work, need time to play, we need time to rest. And it seems so often that with all the things that are going on in our lives, there never seems to be quite enough time. We wish we had more time to do certain things. We often feel rushed in life, and we can grumble about being overtired and overworked. It is all part of the frustration of living as finite creatures in a fallen world. But out of his great mercy, God has provided a remedy, one whole day out of seven, to rest in his grace. He has given us a rhythm of work and of rest, with 6 days for labor and 1 day for rest. And he grants us this rest, this day of rest, specifically for the purpose of his praise. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." And this is reiterated for us in what we read in Exodus 31 verse 15. "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord." Beloved, God has given us 6 whole days to fulfill our earthly calling. But the Sabbath day is to be a day of rest from all our usual business. This means that this day is not a day that's business as usual or for people to do their own thing. To work on this day is a direct violation against the fourth commandment, except for work of necessity or mercy. It is a frontal attack on the rule of God in a person's life. To carry out regular work on this day shows an irreligious heart and greatly offends God. In fact, under the Old Testament civil law, the penalty for not keeping the Sabbath day was very severe. We read in verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." Beloved, this penalty seems harsh, but not when we realize what the Sabbath was intended to do. By not keeping the Sabbath, the Israelite was showing that he or she was not interested in knowing God. Breaking the Sabbath was an act of defiant rebellion. It was a repudiation of the covenant. It was a way of saying to God, "My relationship with you isn't important to me. You're not worth the time it would take to get to know you." One minister tells the story of a man who was approached by a beggar on the street. The man reached into his pocket to see what he had for the beggar. Finding $7 and feeling somewhat sorry for the beggar, the man held out $6 and said, "Here you go." But not only did the beggar take the $6, but with his other hand, he struck his benefactor across the face and grabbed the $7 as well. What do you think about this beggar? What are your thoughts of him? Is one not appalled at such action? Certainly this is what goes through our mind when we hear this story. Well, beloved, what do you think of a sinner who has been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who insists on taking 7 days or 6.5 for himself or herself and not wanting to set aside one day for the worship and the praise of God, to thank God for all that he has done? When we do not remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, we are no better than that beggar in this story. Now for Israel, God demanded strict civil penalties for Sabbath breaking. And while these civil penalties are no longer in effect, the moral aspect of them still remains. We read in Exodus 31 verse 16, "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." These verses emphasize the Sabbath's abiding significance. God's holy day is to be kept in perpetuity. It is perpetual. It never ends. And the basis for Sabbath keeping went all the way back to creation. We read in Exodus 31 verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Beloved, the Sabbath is one of the world's original institutions, going back to the week when this world was made. The Sabbath looked back to creation, when God made the world and rested on the seventh day. Genesis 2 verse 2 tells us that God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then to mark the occasion, Genesis 2 verse 3 goes on to say, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Beloved, already God in creation blessed a day for us to share in his rest and to remember his great work of creation. The seventh day was holy because it was a day of the week set aside for the recognition of God as the creator and the provider of all that exists and is enjoyed by his creatures. But there's also another reason for remembering the Sabbath day. When God gave the Ten Commandments again in Deuteronomy 5, he says, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Beloved, the Sabbath looked back not only on creation, but also to redemption. It reminded God's people that they had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, but now they were set free. And so the Sabbath day was a day to celebrate their liberation from the house of bondage by giving glory to God and resting always in God's graces. And it has even greater meaning for us today as Christians. We have received a new and a greater deliverance. We no longer look back to the old Exodus for our salvation. We look to Jesus Christ, who accomplished a greater Exodus by dying for our sins and rising again. Jesus is the fulfillment of the fourth commandment, as he is of all the others. The Old Testament Sabbath pointed to the full and final rest that can only be found in Christ. Now Jesus gives a whole new meaning to work and a whole new meaning to rest. He came into this world to finish the work of his Father, as Jesus said in John 4, verse 34. And on the basis of that work, he is able to give us rest for our souls. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Beloved, we can never earn our salvation, no matter how hard we try. All we can do and need to do is to repose, to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The psalmist says in Psalm 62, verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him." And God transformed his holy day from the Sabbath to the Lord's Day by raising Jesus from the dead. He accomplished this new Exodus on Sunday, the first day of the week. And from then on, God's people have observed Sunday as a day of rest and of worship. And so the Lord's Day is a day for looking back. We look back to creation when God made the world in 6 days and then rested. We also look back to Easter, when God gave us life by raising Jesus from the dead. But we also look forward to our everlasting rest. Hebrews 4, verse 9 and 10 assures us that in Christ there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Beloved, we find our rest in Jesus, who has done all the work of our salvation. He kept the law. He died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And now by believing in Jesus Christ and what he has done, we cease from our work in the sense of trying to earn our salvation and enter into that spiritual rest and peace of heart that comes to those who know themselves to be already accepted and justified by God in Christ. And one day, we will enter our full and final rest. In the meantime, we rest in Christ, especially on his holy day. And so each Lord's Day is remembering that our salvation rests in Jesus Christ. We rest on what Christ has done for us. This is the rest for our soul, and points us to the eternal rest with God forever and ever. But now, beloved, remembering involves more than just memories. It demands total engagement of our whole person in the service of God. God said in verse 15 that the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to God. Literally, we are to sanctify it, set it apart for sacred use. To keep something holy, in the biblical sense, is to dedicate it exclusively for worship. And so the Sabbath is first of all for God and His worship. To keep the Sabbath day holy, to keep it to the Lord, is to give the whole day over to God, setting it apart for Him and His glory. God tells His people in Leviticus 23 verse 3 that the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. The fact that God here calls the Sabbath a day of sacred assembly reminds us right away of our gathering together for corporate worship each and every Sunday. Sunday is a day of sacred assembly, of coming together as God's people and assembling ourselves before God. In the Catechism, we confess that God's will in the fourth commandment is that gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. You know, this focus on worship on Sundays led the Puritans to refer to the Sabbath day as the market day for the soul, whereas the other 6 days of the week are for ordinary commerce. This is the day when we transact our spiritual business, trading in the currency of heaven. We read in Exodus 31 verse 12, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Beloved, here God makes explicit that the weekly Sabbath was designed to promote the knowledge of God, to come to know Him more and more. God has entered into a relationship with us as people, a covenant relationship in which we are to know Him as our God. To that end, He has decreed that we should set apart one whole day in seven to rest in His grace. It's God's way of making sure that we as people take time to get to know Him by spending time in God's Word, in prayer and in praise. We as God's people come to know Him more and more and more as our God, as our Heavenly Father. And in the process, God makes us holy. He sanctifies us. As we read in verse 13, "For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Beloved, our covenant relationship with God is a sanctifying relationship. And the Lord's Day is part of that process. As we set apart a day of worship and rest, God sets us apart for His service. In other words, He sanctifies us. Jesus said in Mark 2 verse 27 that the Sabbath was made for man. And one way the Sabbath is for us is that it helps us grow in our knowledge of God. When we sanctify God's holy day, God uses it to sanctify us. Of course, we need to spend time with God every day. Daily Bible reading and prayers sustain our spiritual vitality. But meeting weekly with God in corporate worship provides an anchor for our whole existence. The Lord's Day should always be seen as a privilege, a gift from God, and a delight for us. It is a weekly opportunity for us to experience life's highest pleasures. The Lord's Day is a day to step back from life's ordinary routines in order to rediscover God's goodness and grace and rest in that grace. The Lord's Day is a vacation for the soul. It is a day of spiritual refreshment. It is a day to revel in the wonders of God and the mysteries of His Word. And as we do, the Lord refreshes our souls and renews our spirits. It is a day to regain perspectives. Before we launch into another week, with all the difficulties and distractions of daily life, we take a day to remember who God is and who we are in relationship to Him as His children. Beloved, God made this day on purpose to raise our hearts to heaven, to worship God, and to converse with Him, and to have Him work in us. When we begin to understand more fully the blessings that are ours when we dwell in God's courts, and how God bestows His favor on us each and every Sunday by His Word and Spirit, we see how the Sabbath day prepares us also for the future. Every Sunday is a foretaste of dwelling with God forever through all eternity. And beloved, what God also wants is that the Sunday influences all the days of the week. Keeping the fourth commandment means also, as we confess, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit. And so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. When we have truly observed the Sunday for what it is and have been in communion with the living God, then this will have a sanctifying effect on all the other days of the week. There is power which proceeds from Sunday to all our work days. Sunday does not stand in that sense apart from or detached from our daily life, or is a glaring contrast to it. But the Sabbath day of rest is the throbbing heart to all our days. When Christ is the Lord of our Sabbath, then He is also the Lord of our lives. Then our whole lives will also be dedicated to Him. We find rest each day when we leave the burden of sin at the cross and find rest at the heart of our Savior. And we show this by giving ourselves over to God each and every day of our lives. In this sense, we need to get up every morning and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Only in this way, by the Holy Spirit, can we begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved, though we may still only see dimly and enjoy it partially and in a weak way, God's purpose in this commandment is for us to have a foretaste of heaven's rest, a preview of life and worship in the presence of God forever in the new heaven and the new earth. This foretaste may still be weak in us, but the more we pray for the Holy Spirit to work in us, the more this emblem of rest will become a reality for us. As we sung, "New graces ever gaining from this our day of rest, we reach the rest remaining to spirits of the blessed." In closing, as we make our way to that eternal rest remaining, may our prayer and desire always be that of the psalmist who said in Psalm 27, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Amen.